just when you thought it was safe to take down your jack-o'-lantern, the spooky season returns. But not just any spookum, a genre-defining one. Because two horror fans, and the occasional special guest, refuse to let evil die tonight. Welcome to the Apocalypse Video Halloween Retrospective. I am your slightly less creepy narrator, David Snyder. It's 20 years later, and someone has returned for one last paycheck. It's Halloween H2O, 20 years later.
It's 1998, in a remote California town, at a secluded private school.
We could have a Halloween party, just the four of us. We could have a roaming orgy.
I love the way this man thinks.
No booze, no drugs, no kidding.
One teacher is living in fear.
I'm not who you think I am. I changed my name when I went into hiding.
Terrible. Take off your gloves.
My brother killed my sister.
How'd he do that?
With a really big kitchen knife.
That's enough. I can't take it, Mom. He's dead. It's been 20 years. What's he waiting for, huh? Don't you think he would have shown up by now?
What's going on, babe?
I don't know.
This is a sick joke.
Now,
come on!
The face of good and the face of evil will meet one last time. But this time, it's going to be a fight to the finish. This summer, terror won't be taking a vacation. Halloween H2O.
It's Halloween. I guess everyone is entitled to one good scare.
I've had my share.
Hello and welcome to the 20th installment? I don't know, I've lost count. This movie has thrown me off of the Apocalypse Video Halloween Retrospective. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by several guests this time. For some reason, this was the movie that brought everyone into the store. It wasn't the 1978 classic Halloween, or even the 1983 Weird Ball classic Halloween 3. It was Halloween 20 years later? It's an evil film, Sheriff. I'm joined by, of course, my stalwart co-host, Nick.
Hello.
I should probably mention to my co-host that you have to speak like this. I'm also joined by Jackie.
I would need a lozenge after this, but that's okay. I can hang.
I'm also joined by Michael, not Myers.
Because today's the day. Today's the day you're going to realize that I am 17 years old and your overprotection and paranoia is inhibiting my growing process.
Mike, could you grab me one of the pills marked nightmares? I've been having some bad dreams lately. No, not that one. The other one. No, the other one. Okay, thanks.
Get mommy's vodka.
Sure thing, Dave.
Get me that magic juice.
Get mommy's juice. Get mommy's juice.
Very special... We're joined by a very special guest, a diehard fan of this movie, if I'm not mistaken, Jana.
I don't have a quote, so I'm just going to do...
Perfect.
Totally the right franchise. So Halloween H2O,
20 years later. Is this, I didn't do a lot of research into this, but would this, do you think this is the first requel? And when I say that, I mean a redo sequel. Like, we're not making a sequel to the last movie that came out. We're making a sequel to specifically the second movie. And now we're ignoring 3 through 6.
So the idea here is, like, the first movie that's doing a sequel that ignores some of the other movies?
Yeah.
It can't be the first. Already in the 90s, everything was being sequelized at that point.
I think this is meant to be a sequel to the first movie. I think it's a redo sequel because.
Well, yeah, a requel.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's to the first one, not the second one, because she doesn't mention the second one at all. She said that she said, I saw him burn, but then she didn't. She did not talk about how he came back the second year, you know, or whatever.
That happened in the second movie, though. He blows up.
Oh, yeah, because the second one is, like, the same night, the hospital, right?
Yeah, the same night.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And isn't that where there's the reveal that they're related?
Yeah, they do drop in this that they're brother and sister, which, having only seen the first one,
is not a presence.
I haven't seen Halloween 2. Oh, interesting.
I
just know that they blow up a hospital.
I'm familiar with it. I've read the literature. It is interesting. But isn't it like what the franchise does later once they do the more recent sequels?
They're like, don't even pay attention to H2O. We got a different. Don't worry.
It's almost the same thing where it's sort of like starring Jamie Lee Curtis and it's sort of like her time to get revenge or whatever. Like.
And her difficult relationship with children. And
I'm right about this. Like, I'm not going crazy. Am I like...
No,
this,
they just...
This has to be one of the all-time messiest film franchises.
Are you saying it's the first time it's like a requel reset to where they're like, okay, let's make it about her like standing up and being like, no, I'm going to finally be strong and like take this into my own hands sort of thing.
Well, I just mean in the sense of it's so weird that a series will say it's so specific. Like we're making a sequel to the second movie, not 3, 4, 5, 6. Those don't matter anymore, but the first two matter. It's so specific. And I got to wonder if the filmmakers and actors of Halloween's 3 through 6, after this decision was made, was like, what the hell, dude? You're saying we don't matter anymore?
Well, first of all, the third one doesn't matter, Dave.
Well, the third one's a weird anomaly.
Yeah, the third one's Season of the Witch, right? That's like a totally different story.
That was kind of just botched marketing where they're like, okay, we're going to turn this series into an anthology series where each movie is its own thing.
Well, Jamie Lee Curtis declined to come back for any more movies, so I guess we'll do an anthology, and then they wrote her a big enough check for H2O that was like, never mind all that bullshit. Shit, we're back with Lori.
We got Jamie back.
Jamie's back.
It's such a weird thing, and it reminds me of George Lucas coming out with the special editions of Star Wars. Like, those were good and all, but they didn't really meet my exact vision. So I'm going back and changing the visual effects work of all those people who won Oscars for their work and making it better. And again, I think about the people who made the first Star Wars, thinking like, George, what the hell?
All right, like, fuck. I guess we'll go Oscar fuck ourselves.
And you're shitting on us.
I don't think they cared. I think they were bathing in their tubs of money.
Yeah, they cried into their millions.
Anywho, H2O.
It is nice that we're getting a back to basics movie here,
well,
right?
Yeah. Very simple movie. Very
straightforward.
For anyone who's unaware, the previous three movies set up a pagan timeline where Michael Myers, ultimately, we find out, is being controlled by Celtic pagans.
Well, that's where the pure evil comes from, is from the Celts.
The Celts?
I'm sorry, they're
you
pure
never
evil.
Suspect the Celts.
Is that like the only carryover from number three?
I think so.
I think it is.
Maybe it's like a subtle little nod to three.
It has to be. because that's where that started.
But you're right. This is back to basics, which I think is kind of a fault of the movie in many ways we'll get to. But one thing that I do actually enjoy about this movie, funny enough, is the opening. I kind of like the opening of this movie. I would say arguably this like 10-minute opening or so with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and I don't know
young JGL
from the first movie. I kind of like this opening, despite the fact that Michael Myers does not look intimidating at all.
Yeah, what's going on with this Michael Myers? It's like, the person playing him, it's not the problem. It's the mask. Like, this is terrible.
They never could get the mask right afterwards.
This is like, they bought a Michael Myers mask.
Yeah.
And it has like that too clean look that like a new mask would have.
Well, then the hair is just, what are they doing with the hair?
Nick was nodding his head. Nick, you liked the beginning too?
Yeah, the beginning is the, you know, for the first 5 or 10 minutes or so, it plays like a status quo Halloween movie, which
it's like an actual
so I like that.
I was thinking like in the beginning of this, like this isn't like as it was starting.
Yeah,
I was like,
this movie,
okay, this is okay.
Everything I've heard from Dave is this movie has a terrible reputation. And so I was expecting the worst in some senses, or I was preparing myself to see what other people saw as the worst. And so the first 5-10 minutes or so, I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to be a fan of this movie.
And then they went ahead and killed Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And I said, oh, why am I even watching this?
God. Yeah, you know, I'm number one Joseph Gordon-Levitt fan. So when he was out, I was out.
Oh, you know, something just occurred to me. Jana, you opened, your opening line was "Chi-chi-chi, ma-ma-ma." We should point out that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is killed by a skate.
It's so
i.e. hockey. Yeah. It's all
such
connected.
A rad. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Love him. I was like really rooting for them to survive. But it was such a rad like scene for her to walk into.
That's a fucked up way to die. Skate to the face.
Skate to the face.
I think they set up pretty good, scary, creepy ambiance when she walks in. Her house has been broken into. It's dark and creepy in there. You hear those house noises of a two-story house, like,
and then some teens show up, and you think, like, oh, God, but they're nice teens, but they still
But they're
killed.
Still bad boys because they cop some beer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They
I did
got
really
two
like.
Heinekens. They're having a crazy night.
Didn't the other kids say, we're going to get fucked up or something, too?
Yes. Yeah. They're like, we scored.
They got beer?
Yes.
We're getting messed up, man.
If we drink these two beers really fast for like 15 minutes, maybe we can get a little buzz going.
We're going to get so crazy.
Was it confirmed that they were Heinekens? Or for all we know, they were O'Doul's.
They look like Heinekens to me.
That would be even better if they scored some non-alcoholic beers.
Oh my gosh. She's like, I can't drink anymore. I keep losing these patient files.
Yeah.
Heineken Zero.
She's like, oh, I haven't. Actually, I'm 10 years sober. I don't drink anymore, but the kids don't know that.
It's actually just seltzer water.
Also, they don't know the difference. This is set in the Midwest, right? Where is Halloween?
I think this is set in California.
Okay, well, California. The school definitely is in California, but yeah, that opening, I guess, is a little more...
anywhere, USA.
The opening is in Illinois, you know, just to sort of kind of carry over. I guess Michael's a Midwest guy.
Oh, yeah. He had to make that road trip.
There's no way that's the first time those kids have drank. They've been drinking since they were like 7 years old, if they're in the Midwest.
Oh, they were weaned on O'Doul's.
Weaned on O'Doul's and Oxycontin. This is 1998. This is The oxy is flowing free.
Yeah, if the skate hadn't killed Joseph Gordon-Levitt, it would have been pills.
You go to a doctor, like, oh, I fell off my skateboard. Oh, here's 20
what
prescriptions
are you,
14? Of Oxycontin, you 14-year-old.
Michael Myers is doing a service. Michael Myers is keeping them off drugs.
And he stopped that nurse from smoking by killing her.
Yeah, I think he was one of the founders of the D.A.R.E. program.
No one ever remembers that Michael Myers is staunchly anti-drugs and alcohol.
Single-handedly stopping the opioid epidemic.
I mean, I really... It traces back to the original, too, because there is the slant of them smoking weed in the car in the original.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the spirit of Halloween has always been anti-drugs.
anti-drug. Exactly.
Yeah, and like Jason, how he's always trying to kill teens having sex is Michael Myers trying to, he's trying to kill partying teens.
And that's why he hated Loomis too, because he knew he was a wino. He could tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Loomis was definitely on something.
Loomis was drinking bottles of wine at a time, and Michael Myers is like, I'm 8 years old, and I know you have a problem.
Taking acid.
You can, like, when Loomis is on screen, you can smell the alcohol.
Even just in the photograph we see briefly in the opening, you're like, ooh.
You know, that reminds me. So just a sort of, like, you know, setup for this. So this is the movie says that this is Loomis's house and the nurse is taking care of the house. Did I understand that correctly?
I didn't catch that at all. If that was that. I assumed Loomis is dead and his nurse was like, I will take up the cause.
The Chattopedia says that it was Loomis's former colleague who took care of him until his death returns home to the house they shared in Langdon, Illinois, Illinois to find out it had been broken into.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
The house they shared.
So they shared a house together and she was his caretaker.
Get me another Heineken, will you?
Loomis, I told you, we're not doing that.
You're getting old duels.
What if that beer did belong to Loomis and now the kids are drinking Dead Man's Beer?
Oh my god. Oh, Dead Man's Beer? That's like your brand.
It's pretty sick.
Guaranteed Michael Myers kill.
But as I said earlier, like, I think this scene, like, this opening scene is pretty creepy, and I like the way it's set up. Like, the kid, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt goes into the house and quote-unquote clears it. I checked all the rooms, I checked all the closets, it's all good. Oh, they really did a number on your kitchen, you know.
Yeah. He was like, I think someone broke in and stole your beers, but anyway,
they stole the two beers.
Gotta go.
They stole the two beers that were in your fridge.
They must have been wanting to get really fucked up.
Wanted to get fucked up.
They're probably going to have, like, a pretty crazy night with those two beers, so.
Anyway, have a good night, ma'am.
House.
But I mean, like, the setup of the scares is actually effective. Like, so she goes back in. And of course, it's a horror movie, so I guess the power's cut. And I like the setup of the shots. Like, she goes, like, her front door opens up. She's like, what? And she goes to it. And then you see Michael Myers over her shoulder to sort of look at her. She turns around. He's gone. And then suddenly the back door opens. And I like this. This is a fun horror moment where I feel like a lot of people who watch horror movies probably do this. Like, what are you doing? Just get out of the house. And she has this moment where she makes this face like, fuck
my horror movie.
She immediately leaves.
Yeah. I love that. You think she's going to, like, investigate it, and then she does just, like, turn around and be like,
no.
I'm going to run next door to the teenagers to save me.
Well, because the cops were worthless.
Yeah.
Oh, the cops show up late.
That's why Joseph Gordon-Levitt goes into the house. He's like, we called the cops. They're not doing anything. Like, I'll
he's
go
like,
in.
I'll go check
wait.
It out for you.
Yeah.
I got a hockey stick. I've been watching a lot of Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my god. What if he, like, pulled down a Jason hockey mask or something? That would have
been so meta.
You should put on a little mask and then be like, silly, right?
And anyway. Then they fight.
And then they start fighting. And he picks up a knife.
You know, I know Michael doesn't talk, but if he did, he'd be like, you don't bring a hockey stick to a kitchen knife.
Dude, I'm gonna kick your ass.
But this does, you're right, Nick, this does feel like back to basics. She goes in, he has a skate to the face, an ice skate to the face. I don't know what happened to the other guy. He's just, I guess he got knifed in the back. And this, and, you know, we get standard.
He died from alcohol poisoning. He drank the two beers.
Yeah, he had.
it was completely unrelated to Michael Myers.
He got too wasted. He drank two O'Doul's and died from non-alcohol poisoning.
I always feel like Michael's kills have been exaggerated. You know, people are assigning kills that he didn't do. And, you know, making him out to be a worse guy than he is.
We don't know that Michael Myers, like, put the hockey skates into JGL's face. Maybe he was just, like, so...
He was so drunk. So drunk.
The two kids probably fought over the beers, and his friend killed him for that extra beer.
It's just, like, we don't know all the facts. So why would you blame it on Michael Myers?
But this is where we get within this opening sequence, 10 minutes. I was counting it. I'm pretty sure within this opening sequence alone, we get three different Michael Myers masks. If you look, if you look closely, the mask changes three times.
Oh, wow. Who was their continuity person? Like, God
just
damn.
Don't understand. This is the stuff that boggles my mind when I see something like this. It's like, okay, I'm assuming, I guess I don't know for sure, but like that Jamie Lee Curtis bought some sizable amount of money. That's why she came. But it's like, if I was making a movie, like and then I knew what else is going to follow, like basically nothing, then it's just like, why would I make this? Like, why would you make this movie and just let it be so blah? And, you know, like, how can these movie series make so many missteps, especially what came right before this? Like, I don't know. Just boggles my mind.
I was listening to the some of the Halloween episodes to prepare for today, and I was laughing at Dave said to you, Nick, in the last episode, Nick, do you like these movies?
And you know what? It's funny because I think in my heart the simple answer is yes, but it's, I think, like, this movie,
but it's not so simple.
These movies, it's, you watch, especially these last two, and this one especially, it just feels like there's some part of the movie making process that is, you know, trying to do something, trying to make it work. But then it always feels like there's a bunch of other stuff that just people just don't care about, like the mask. Like, how can you make a a Halloween movie and not have enough masks to have the same mask throughout the whole process?
How do you get the mask wrong?
They always do after the first one, because it's like they can't recreate that scrappiness of the original.
But even
to
Dave's
so many
point,
ways,
to have three different masks, like, how does it get to that point of, like, messiness? It's like, how, what planning process does or doesn't happen where you have a hot, like, this is not a new franchise. We all know Michael Myers.
Yeah, 20-year-old franchise.
There must be a Halloween spirit store that sells 10, 20 Michael Myers masks. How do you not have enough? So how do we get this to this messiness and this laziness? Like, it's just so...
It
kind of
looks like it's painted on.
To me,
there is one instance in this movie where they... So this is a little backstory. As I understand it, so this was a Weinstein-produced movie.
That's right.
And evidently, they were not happy with the way the mask looked throughout production and kept insisting on changes, which is why it changes so many times.
There you go.
But there's one scene that takes the cake. It's towards the middle at the school, the private school, when the horny character, I know there's many, but the main horny character.
Yes, horny friend.
I think, if I'm not mistaken,
he's,
I think
from,
he's
Jumanji.
Yes, he's the little kid version of Robin Williams' character in Jumanji.
Alan. Please, some respect on the name.
Okay, so what's the respect on his name?
Horny young Alan Parrish. Parrish in this movie in H2O is going, you know, it's that scene when he drops the wine opener or the corkscrew. Hey, another Friday the 13th reference.
Where's the corkscrew?
Where the hell's the corkscrew?
It falls into the garbage disposal. He gets it, and it's this tense scene because we see that Michael Myers is behind him. Oh, he's going to turn the switch on and
grind. Oh, and he's like, is doing this is the most, like, just grab the corkscrew and get out of there. Like, he's like, is this the okay? Oh,
this feels like the
scene. That was the strangest scene.
On.
I feel like that scene was almost romantic. Like, the way that the guy
the
was
fingers
like,
along just, the corkscrew.
Because he was just like fondling the inside of the drain looking for this corkscrew, but
it's weird.
It doesn't.
He's so horny. He had to die.
He was practicing.
Well, and then, so he pulls it out. It
he's like, this is
Michael
what being with a girl's like, right? It's like a garbage disposal.
It feels like.
He's all sharp and he's spiky. Like, I gotta get some more practice.
I don't want my girlfriend to think I'm bad at sex.
But anyway, he pulls it out. Nothing happens. He turns around and Michael's there. And this is the worst mask moment in the movie because they literally used CGI to, like, I don't know, like, darken his cheekbones.
That's
in the mask.
So weird.
My single biggest thing why I think the mask is so lame is because the eye holes are too big.
Yes.
And
yes.
So
yes.
It like, because I think part of the reason Michael's face is sometimes scary is because the eyes are blank. You know, it's the eyes of the devil. But
he never even
in the other movies, he's like a shape. And in this one, he's like a guy with a mask.
Yeah. We talked a little before we got down to things of like there's weirdly like skinny 90s eyebrows on the mask too. Yes. And it's like, what, they had Michelle Williams makeup person like doing his eyebrows too? I know it's terrible. 1998, eyebrows. Why are we doing this?
Her eyebrows in this movie are barely hanging.
Her eyebrows made me so sad, and I know it gets better for her, but it was rough.
She's so gorgeous. And
little
freaking Alan Parrish's girlfriend. I do not believe in, oh, they're out of my league, whatever. But I was like, why the hell is she with this gremlin?
Yeah, and it's like Josh Hartnett you get, but... Yes.
Josh Hartnett in this movie, though, that boy needs to stand up straight.
I know, he's wearing like...
He needs to brush his hair. This is a weird hair movie.
He needs to tighten up that tie. That tie is
Tucking your shirt, young man, multiple buttons low.
I guess he
was playing the most realistic teenager because every time he's on screen, you want to be just like, oh, can you tuck in your shirt? Can you please just stand up straight, young man?
You guys don't. I just came to a realization. He basically has the same hair that Michael does in the movie.
And Lori. They're all like related.
Unkempt. You know,
maybe it was purposeful. All right, Dave, I'm willing to give them a little bit more credit.
maybe there was like a plan of like maybe Josh Hartnett takes over for the evil.
Evil lives tonight. I think it was just that it's 1998 and everyone has the same hairdo, whether you're a mother, a son, or a serial killer.
Also, this is Josh Hartnett's first movie. It said presenting.
Introducing.
Little baby Josh.
Presenting
Josh Hartnett. Yeah, a couple years later, that would just be like, sorry about that.
Sorry, Josh.
Josh Hartnett is going back into the...
Don't worry, we're putting him back in the oven until he's fully baked.
He's having a bit of a comeback now.
He's looking fine these days.
Yes.
A finely toasted loaf.
Every time I see him, I get excited. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, you're like, hi, stars
in this movie. I mean, putting Jamie Lee Curtis aside, who's obviously a star, I mean, hello. Introducing Josh Hartnett, we get Joseph Gordon-Levitt gets an and in the credits.
He gets an and as. He's like, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt as.
That's how famous he was at this time, even though he's dead before the credits.
Yeah, he's dead by the time we get him in the credits.
I thought that too, because literally Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character dies, and then they... introduce him. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, and hey, that he must have had the most powerful agent in Hollywood in 1998.
Well, lest we forget, this movie is with LL Cool J.
Oh my gosh,
it is with LL Cool J.
Yes, it is.
I don't know how I feel about LL Cool J's part. Like, part of me is like, what are we doing here? But also, part of me is like, I kind of love the vibe that, like, it's such a specific thing that he's basically like. Workshopping erotic novels
like
with
on
his
the
girlfriend.
Phone with
that's
his
like
girlfriend.
Basically his character.
He turned just in time to see her enter the room with her long slender legs. They climbed high up a skirt leading to two tumultuous round melon breasts.
Round melon? What? Now why do you want to label it like food? And what kind of melon you talking about? Cantaloupe, watermelon, what?
Baby, it's fiction. People like to read descriptive adjectives. It sets the scene.
It's stupid is what it is.
It's sensual and romantic.
Ronnie, it's unrealistic. This whole writing career is unrealistic. Now, we're married now, baby. We gotta get serious.
This is serious.
Honey, I've been patient, but this writing thing just ain't taking off. And I want a baby before I get so old I can't get my butt back.
You gotta give me a chance, honey. I have to express myself creatively.
He was the only interesting thing of the characters in this movie.
Don't do that on your break
so
at work.
Boring white bread.
Worked off.
Even her boyfriend, the most boring guy in the entire world. Josh Hartnett, brush your hair. His little friend. It's like LL Cool J was the only one who brought anything to the screen.
Exactly. Like whether or not you like what they were doing with the character, which I do. He's bringing it, and I was so relieved when he didn't die.
Yes.
When he comes back, I'm like, good for you, dude. Oh,
Thank goodness. He did get shot. So how did he not die?
He was.
He had a line that said the bullet grazed my arm.
Yeah, he's on the phone with his girlfriend after we think Michael Myers is dead. Spoilers. He's like,
as he still has his knife in a death grip.
He was like, I figured it out. I'm gonna write an erotic thriller. It's great. No, I didn't get shot. It just grazed me anyway. And it's a great moment. And then Laurie goes and steals a cop's gun.
His girlfriend is like really into the.
She's so supportive.
You kind of get the vibe that like she's like, "What are you doing? This is dumb." But then by the end of the movie, you like, no, she like loves. She loves it.
I don't think she thinks it's dumb. I think she's trying to help him. Like when he's reading her something, she's like, "That didn't sound great." And he's like, "Well, okay."
She's not gonna fall for that line.
This is though, like as we're talking about this movie, like this is. Like I was watching it and you know sometimes you like watch a movie and you like pause it to go to the bathroom or something and you're like, Jesus, there's so much more left of this movie. This was the opposite where like I paused it to go to the bathroom and I was like, there's 15 minutes left? Like, what happened? Did I just, like, go into a fugue state?
It's like Michael Myers doesn't show up and start stabbing until we're, like, an hour into a 90-minute movie.
I was floored at, like, and I think that's, like, the crux of the movie is, like, we're kind of talking about it, and you're thinking, like, it kind of sounds like we're, like, okay, so we're, like, setting up the movie. Like, no, by the time, like, most of this stuff is established, we're kind of at the end of the movie. And that is like
things
the thing.
Don't get resolved, like Lori and her son's relationship. It's like this hasn't been resolved. He just got stabbed.
That's kind of the thing.
It proves that Jamie Lee Curtis's paranoia was true. It was completely justified.
Actually, she was right.
Her paranoia was that he went on the camping trip. If he had gone on the camping trip, he would have been fine.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's why you don't lie to your parents.
Well, I don't know. I disagree. Well, because like it's
Dave
like
thinks you
movie,
should lie to your parents.
It seems like this movie, because I agree, that was one thing I was thinking, like, oh, it's funny, like if she had just let him go on the trip, he would have been fine. But this movie seems to posit that Michael Myer only goes to kill his relatives when they are 17 years old.
Yes.
It's the magic number.
He knows when a relative is.
Kid, he was there for Lori.
Who knows what's going on in Michael Myers' head.
Either but 17 or 37. No in between.
I remember Jamie Lee Curtis looking at the number 17 and being like, oh my God.
How old were you?
It all makes sense
now. Evil dies
the
tonight.
The man with hooks.
Maybe they were trying to do, like, the first movie. Because you know how in the first movie, which I hate, by the way, it's so boring. The first movie, because it's the same thing. Nothing happens until, like, the last, you know, what, 20, 15 minutes or something in the first movie?
It's setting up scary ambiance.
I know, maybe
the
they
atmosphere.
Thought they were setting up scary ambiance again.
They were like, we did this once. It's fine. Exactly. It's fine.
Well, because I mentioned earlier, this movie is basically rolling out the hits. Like, it's basically copying Halloween in every possible way with the head tilts. There's a moment at the end when Michael is chasing them down this hallway and
Michael never chases anybody.
Yeah,
he
pursuing
walks,
them slowly.
Doesn't even walk briskly.
There's a moment when Jamie Lee Curtis like fools him into thinking that she's hiding in a closet, but she's not. She hits him over the head with like a fire extinguisher, and they copy the moment from the first movie when he like sits up, but they botch it because in that movie he gets stabbed and he's on the ground and then he sits up. In this movie, he gets knocked over the head from a crouching position. And he just sort of like falls back into a seated position like a toddler. And
there are a couple times when he's like, I think it's towards the end too, when he's thrown out of the van, where he like sits up in a way of like someone. It's just like, ugh. Like you can almost hear him being like, ah, oh, fuck, oh, Jesus.
I'm middle aged now. This is getting harder to do.
I mean, how much older than Lori is he? He was 8 or something when he.
Yeah,
not too much older.
He's in his 40s.
Less than 10 years.
Yeah, he's in his 40s.
Well, that cop in the beginning of the movie is like, hey, the guy would be younger than I am, okay? So he's probably in his, I would say, early 40s.
Yeah.
So is the implication that he was like 20 in the first Halloween?
Yeah.
He's 21 in the first
Halloween. That's not, I don't like that.
No, he should be at the club.
Yeah, that's probably why he's so staunchly against drinking. He's like, I didn't get to drink.
He's been
I've never been to the club.
Nobody gets to drink anymore.
It's not like Dr. Loomis was giving him Heinekens and Smith's Grove Sanitarium.
Well, technically,
maybe
we don't
wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't be evil if you let him party. Okay?
Yeah, well, like, would his life have changed if he just had a beer? Like, if he got messed up, you know?
If he had some friends to just
Joseph Gordon-Levitt and his friends.
Steal a beer for him? Yeah, anyway, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I feel like this, you know, this movie just, it tries to be the first movie so hard and just fails at every, it just comes off as forced to me.
Yeah. I do like Lori, though. I think Lori might be my favorite, well, besides Ripley, final girl.
Oh, Laurie Strode. Yes. Okay. Well, so let's get back to the beginning. There's a moment in this movie where
Joseph Gordon-Levitt steals two beers.
Yeah, so we're getting back to the beer scene, the beer theft.
Now let's zoom in. What kind of
One thing that this movie does that actually all the Halloween movies have kind of done to some degree, Michael Myers is one of the few slasher crazy killer guys who drives a car.
Oh my God,
how did he even learn how to drive a car?
And well, that's where that the first we're movie. Going back yeah. to the first one. Who taught Michael Myers how to drive?
And like, and I where guess. Why is this car? This car is like the first car that was ever made.
Yeah, the car that the he steals car. From the woman and her kid is like
we'll
a fucking Oldsmobile.
Genuinely scary. That was probably one of the more genuine scary moments.
Yeah. We'll get to that. That I agree, Jana. That for my opinion, that's the scariest scene in the movie. That's genuinely creepy. But what I'm getting at is, I actually kind of like Michael in that black, like, Mustang-looking car in the beginning. It's, like, creepy. And it makes me wonder, like, should Michael have always had, like, a car as, like, an evil accessory?
Like, evil... What was that? Evil kit?
Well, I mean, like, you know, like, when you think Michael Myers, you think the white mask and his kitchen knife. Why not, like...
Why not a car?
Why not the Michael-mobile?
A Michael-mobile. And I like that the movie purposefully puts the two cars he drives are like kind of evil looking. The first one's
give
like
him
this
evil
black
cars.
Mustang looking thing. And like, I'll admit when he like somehow quietly drives a Mustang out of that driveway and skirts away, like that was a little creepy.
It should,
and then the next car he picks up.
He should have like a horn that you push the horn. It's like, bam, 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 bam.
But the next car he picks up is from a rest stop on his way to California, because now he's gotten the information. He broke into
someone's turning 17.
Figured out what Laurie Strode is. And like he steals this car that looks like it was produced in the 1940s.
It's older than, like, it looks like...
It looks like a Model T, like...
Yeah, this would be like in Batman Animated Series, this would be still look
or,
like
or
an
even,
old car.
Or even, like, the Tim Burton Batman. It's like, there's something so weirdly old-fashioned about it, well, but the like, person driving is just, like, a young mom and her toddler, and it's like, why?
It's like you expect to see the Penguin driving it or something.
Yeah, there's like a weird,
she couldn't
like,
find a regular minivan, so she bought this one, and it was like, okay.
It's an insane car. Like, it's a weird car that, like, they establish as, like, being driven by, like, a normal family. It's one of the weirder things about this movie, I
it
think.
It looks like something that the Joad family would be driving in the Grapes of Wrath.
It does, yes. It has, like, this, like,
it looks
matte...
like something the Addams family would drive, like...
Yeah. It's got, like, this matte black painting that's, like, a finish
it's
that just
so
looks
weird.
Like The Godfather Part 2 or something. Like,
but during that scene, too, which is very... creepy, but the setup is so funny to me of like, well, we're at the rest stop and the kid has to pee real bad, but the women's room is locked, so I guess we'll go into the dankest, grossest men's room you could imagine. Instead, you just be like, yeah, go pee in the bushes.
It looks a lot like the men's room at the store.
And that's why I pee in the bushes.
Yeah, there
Dave,
was a perfectly...
Mike, Dave, it's your turn to do the bathroom duty.
Okay, but Dave, I'm begging you to just unlock the women's room and you refuse. I don't understand.
You don't want to know what's
I
in there.
The key,
and that's
okay?
Why I piss outside.
Yeah, it's funny, like, in this rest stop is like, The surrounding area is beautiful. There are like, it's a comical amount of bushes and like places to pee, but they
instead she's like, go ahead, honey.
Yeah, it's like they're almost like looking at the beautiful private, like privacy hedges bush situation, and then looking back to like the scariest men's bathroom
with like no working lights.
With the suspicious looking car out front.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. That's the thing. I was like, first of all,
so someone's here.
I know people will go into the stall with their child. Like, why didn't she just take the child into the stall?
That was the other thing.
Well, I guess because they both had to pee.
I have to sit on this toilet.
But apparently the mom didn't want to wait. Yeah, she didn't want to wait. She didn't. She had to go, you know?
She did. She still waited because she... Oh, you're right. They were in the stall at the same time. Okay.
But I don't think she peed. I think she...
Well, she didn't, but, you know, she got her priorities out of whack because she saw or she heard them... Marcos.
It's a creepy moment when you just see, you know, it's like the camera angle is her look, her point of view looking down at the door, and you just see a hand come and just take her purse.
Yeah.
Which you also would not place on a dirty men's room floor.
She put the purse on the floor, and it was like half out of the stall.
I'm not here to victim blame, but she made some strange choices.
And I gotta say, I saw this movie when it came out in theaters, and I think the scariest moment in the movie is when she's looking through the crack of the stall
that
door.
That is very scary.
And he just sort of creepily like pauses for a moment and looks back and stares at her for a second and then walks
that out. 100% yes,
with like that the little kid next to her like singing like you know, whatever little kid song.
I think the creepiest moment is him is his hand reaching down and picking up the purse. I think that's the creepiest moment.
Well, because that's like a visceral moment that I feel anyone could relate to.
Yeah.
Because at least when she's looking out the thing, like he is walking away.
Sure.
But him like reaching down and picking up the purse, it's like,
you don't know.
Oh my God, is he taking my purse so I don't have my key so he can kill us?
Yeah, that's the moment where you're like, I don't care if I'm in like the Halloween movie. I don't know who Michael Myers is, but like there's a creep at this rest stop and I'm scared.
I'm a woman with a child.
I don't feel safe.
Do they like they're stuck there now, right? Like he stole their keys and their car.
Yeah, I mean, well,
they have the bad car.
Yeah, they got that weird Mustang. It's 98, so she might have a cell phone. But
I'm sure they're just grateful that I was. It's so funny because I literally was like, she's probably just grateful he didn't kill her child.
I think so. She's like, oh.
I think in the who was it, Rob Zombie one or whatever, that dude's killing that child.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
So,
yeah. Well, we haven't gotten to the Rob Zombie ones yet, but but yeah, this was the scariest scene in the movie for my money.
So he gets this, and he like that's how he gets to California. He drives there. Is this where we cut to LL Cool J? Like, I'm trying to think of what happens after this.
We are introduced to Lori and her son when she's like, you know, awakened from a nightmare about, you know, Michael Myers, and he her son gets her nightmare pills because she's got a whole medicine cabinet full of them to indicate that she's messed up.
What do we think nightmare pills are? What do we think they are?
Yeah, right? It's like
Ambien.
Put me back to sleep.
Xanax, give me a Xanny. Mommy needs a Xanny.
Oh, she's just, it's got just Xanax.
Yeah, full of Xans.
She has so much Xanax.
But then we're introduced to like, we're in California at a posh boarding school.
Richest boarding school I've ever seen.
That she is the headmistress of?
It looks less like a private school, more like a winery or something.
Yeah, it's, well, they don't kind of, I don't know, I didn't at least notice that it was a boarding school till like a good way in. And so at a certain point, I'm like, why does this high school have like an electric gate? And like, what's all? And it's like, okay, I guess they live there. Fine. Whatever.
So much ivy.
So much ivy. LL Cool J's the security guard. Lori's an alcoholic and she's fucking the guidance counselor.
And he's so dry milk toast. He's so
I know
boring.
This dude who's like, we still on for lunch, babe?
Yeah, but he has a fun rapport with the kids. Remember when he makes that joke about getting his nipples pierced?
You're
He's
right.
A cool
I
guy.
Did
He's
like so that. Cool. I actually did like that moment. I thought that moment was good.
You know who's at the school who I love is Janet Leigh.
Yes.
And there's some fun. I kind of like the interactions with them, especially when Janet Leigh in character was like, I don't want to be too maternal now, but
because I'm definitely not your mother.
I'm not your mother at all, but take care of yourself, sweetheart. And she's like, thanks, Mom.
Excuse me. I'm going to get into the car from Psycho while the Psycho theme plays.
That was a fun moment.
The Psycho theme for a moment. Did you catch that?
I clocked the car, but I didn't catch the.
She's like, anyway, I have to go find my sister.
It's the one where she's in the car, like.
You know, either way, they had Janet Leigh for a whole afternoon, and they sure did use her.
It was kind of funny too that like she's in the scene with Jamie Lee Curtis, who's her daughter, of course, and they're like talking, and like the way they shoot it is like Jamie Lee Curtis like walks two steps, a door shuts, and then she's like fully making out with the guy.
Yes.
I was just thinking like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to do this with my mom on set. Like, this is weird.
Hey, they're Hollywood types. They're used to all kinds of weirdness.
They see each other naked. They see each other simulate sex. Like, Holly weird.
Holly weird, am I right?
Plus, if we recall, like, Janet Leigh, you know, she stole $40,000 once, you know, from some banker in Phoenix, so...
Maybe she started the school.
Yeah, that's how the school started, with a curious, generous donation.
Well, so she never stopped at that motel on the way. Instead, she just went out to California, and everything's fine.
This movie is actually not only a requel to Halloween 2, it's a requel to Psycho.
Isn't there even, like, a line with, like, the kids about Psycho? Like, one of them's like... Oh man, what are you gonna do? Like move away to a motel with your mom or something?
I think you were making those jokes.
there's a line like that in here too.
Probably. I just know that you were also making jokes about how Josh Hartnett was trying to fuck his mom.
Oh yeah, there is definitely like some Oedipal stuff going on there.
You know what you're becoming? You're becoming an Oedipal enabler. You know that?
Thank you.
I'm serious. 20 years from now, you're still gonna be living with her.
Probably running some weird motel
so
out in the middle of nowhere.
So this means no
nowhere.
Yosemite?
Correct.
It's kind of like the first scene where they're like in the kitchen together, like talking.
It's
has
a weird energy.
Yeah. Especially because he replaced his father. He had to be the man in her life and get her nightmare pill.
Yeah, yeah.
I need my nightmare pill.
I need my nightmare pills, baby. I mean, son.
Son, yeah.
Oh God! I can't. Are we watching Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman tonight? I can't wait.
Is this a good time for me to mention? I did see in the Chattopedia that Jamie Lee Curtis has regretted doing this movie.
Yes.
Why?
Well, apparently, she was saying that like one of the things like she kind of didn't want to come back to the movie unless like John Carpenter came back as well.
And he was like, going to, or he was like in talks to, but the Weinsteins wouldn't pay Carpenter what he wanted.
Shocking.
Supposedly he wanted $10 million for his fee, and he kind of quantified it by saying like, look, I didn't get properly compensated for Halloween. I was screwed over on that first movie. I haven't really begun. This is just payback, as he put it, basically. But the Weinsteins, who are notoriously cheap, are like, no, nah, we'll just get someone else.
Yeah,
that's
what they're notorious for.
If there's one thing I know about Weinstein.
One objectionable thing. It's the cheapness.
Well, but it's ironic. So the guy they got to direct this movie was Steve Miner, who directed Friday the 13th 2 and 3.
Everyone's favorites.
It's all connected.
Wait, Friday the 13th part 3, the 3D one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this came from the Weinsteins because it's so bad, but who came up with H2O? There's no water in this movie.
I
gotta imagine everyone in the world has made fun of that title,
it's
right?
So it's stupid.
Do you think is it technically supposed to be pronounced H20?
Even stupider.
I bet it is. I bet you're right.
Age 20.
I thought
like, is it there, was are there red carpet premiere videos back from back then? As people were saying, age 20.
Nick, that almost sounds like an apology. Like I could picture that being like an interview. Someone's interviewing the like one of the producers for the bonus features of this movie, and the guy's like, "Okay, so I want to put this to rest forever. It's not pronounced H2O. It's H20. Okay,
it's really a gift situation.
Okay, sure. Uh huh."
Anybody it's not our fault the audience misdid the title, okay?
If you think about it...
I thought it was like a... Oh, go ahead, Nick.
Well, I was just going to make a dumb joke about if you start calling it H20, it makes a lot more sense. A lot better.
The pieces start to fall
and then
place
it's good.
And yeah. It's actually pretty good movie.
I think, like, you know... It's so much more riveting when you say H20. You know, and the...
I will say this. I appreciate this movie came out pretty much during the height of like meta scream type, you know, horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I like some of those movies, but like it got to a point like in the 90s and 2000s where it's like I started rolling my eyes. Like everything was meta. Everything was poking fun at itself. Every movie had its tongue in its cheek.
Like what?
And well, I mean, I think Scream kind of birthed this. Like it seemed like every horror movie, like I Know What You Did Last Summer.
But that's the point of Scream. That's the whole point.
Well, I get, well, no, I'm not faulting Scream.
Right.
You know, Scream is a good movie, but like it kind of inadvertently caused this shift.
Yeah,
in
it
horror,
had its
where...
imitators, which were not as interesting or good. Yeah. And then yeah, everything has to be well. Like, we're in a horror movie.
Yeah. So I kind of appreciate that this movie, even though it's not good, I appreciate that they don't do that. They're like, no, we're just making like a straight up slasher movie.
Well,
I mean, the first 10 minutes were a slasher movie, and then the last 10 minutes were a slasher movie.
And then the middle was like.
The middle is kind of a teen movie.
Yeah, the middle is 10 Things I Hate About You.
And you know, it's funny, I'm glad that it didn't try to do what Scream did. This movie, like, the guy who wrote Scream literally wrote on this movie.
Really?
Yes, he came in for some uncredited rewrites.
Well, there were only so many horror writers in the 90s, so.
Dave, you had mentioned something that's kind of a positive about the movie. Yeah, I will say that
it's only an hour and 20 minutes long. That was pretty good.
Well, I will say, I actually
out of there quick.
Really love the ending. I think the very last thing that happens is awesome, and
it's certainly memorable.
I do like it's I memorable. Like that the so you know there's the fight with Michael Myers. There's like, oh, he's dead, and
yeah,
they're
she
taking
stabs
him away.
Him, LL Cool J's alive,
and it's the part of the movie, of part of every other Halloween movie where it would end, and then it'd be like, oh, it turns out he wasn't dead. But I do love that Jamie Lee Curtis is like. No. Like,
I know he's not dead.
Well,
after
it's
this.
Because
like,
I mean, I'm
going to kill him.
The movie is so stupid because, I mean, it starts out. The reason this they do it this way is because Laurie in her class, they were talking about the Frankenstein story. And so it was her fate to encounter the monster or whatever. So it brings it back. And, you know, Laurie, this is her meeting her fate and, you know, facing her monster or whatever.
Destroying
but,
her
I mean,
monster. Yeah.
The movie, I think. It earns this ending in like no way, so that I mean, but it still happens, and I'm able to, in a vacuum, consider it. And I think it is like a awesomely triumphant moment. Like it has two ingredients. It has the hand reach, which I think I like that Laurie was the one who took a step back and said, "No, this is a monster. I'm going to kill it." And then her triumphant swing. With a brutal beheading, I think it's very triumphant, and it actually is pretty damn cool. Like if I hadn't sat there for a previous hour or something like that, I thought, you know, that would have been cool.
Yeah, that beheading rule.
We should have opened with a beheading,
and then the whole movie is just a flashback.
I liked also.
Oh my gosh.
You might be wondering how I got here.
It's like the head slowly falling
the
through
swing
the air,
and then it pauses. You may be wondering how.
Yes.
Oh, it's sticky.
You just fixed the movie.
Oh my god.
Gosh, you fixed it. You fixed it.
The beheading is cool, and it was definitely like one of those like. How are they going to bring Michael back
you
now? Like, because I know they are.
Mike, you can do a recut of this movie and call it H20.2.
Yes. It's so terrible. See, because, Nick, I totally agree. The ending is amazing. It's so good. She gets her power back. She kills him. I also don't like Michael Myers very much at all, but I love.
What did he ever do?
I've seen him dead.
What did he do to you?
What matter? What matter?
They ruin it in the next one, and I don't want to, you know, no spoilers. We're not talking about the next one, but as Mike said, we all know he comes back. And it just, that ruined the moment for me. As much as I loved it, I was like, I know he comes back from this, so I can't even enjoy it as much.
So, Nick, you don't know how he comes back in the next one, right?
I haven't seen anything else after this.
I'm kind of curious if you're going to quit this show after the reveal of how he comes back in the next one.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, I just looked at the title, because I have no idea.
Don't say it, because I don't know it.
If there was one, and I'm not saying how it happens, but I am just going to say the title of the movie, and I feel like it does give a bit away. The movie is called Halloween Resurrection.
Okay, so they're going the Jason route. He gets struck by lightning or something.
You mentioned Jason again, because you could argue that the ending of this movie rips off Friday the 13th, which itself was a ripoff of Halloween. So the circle is complete.
I am already preparing my defense for the next movie. He gets struck by lightning, and it links back to the Frankenstein story mentioned in this movie. And so it's all cohesive in it.
You were setting it up the whole time.
Just a long con.
Yeah. Halloween H2O, a modern day Prometheus.
This is exactly like Mary Shelley foresaw.
Really is.
Oh, Lord.
And we're not even, guys, listeners, we're not even like skipping over the middle of the movie. They're truly very little.
Yeah, you might be listening thinking like, wow, this is kind of a meandering conversation. It doesn't really go anywhere.
It's a meandering movie that doesn't really go anywhere. Yeah.
The thing about this movie is I feel like there's the story where Laurie has taken on a new identity and stuff like that. But I feel like, I don't know, there's so much that is just like, it's just a statement. And then there's no meat on the bones about this hidden life or something like that. Like, it's just,
well, Nick, I think, you know, 52 minutes into the podcast is a good enough time as any to break down the plot of Halloween, or I should say H20.
Yeah, excuse me.
Why don't
me.
You break down the plot, what little there is of Halloween H20?
(20 years later.
Michael.
(20 years
Michael later. Comes back, finds out that Laurie Strode is alive. She faked her death, I guess, in a car accident. And so now he's hunting her, and Laurie has a child who is being affected by her paranoia, and she's kind of like ruining his life, and he wants to, you know, go party and have sex and drink and stuff like that.
I want to go to Yosemite.
Yeah, you know, Yosemite, the capital of sin.
I want two beers, Mom.
How are we 50 minutes into this episode and we haven't mentioned Yosemite? Why can't I go to Yosemite?
Well, you know how there's that Halloween Yosemite trip that all the kids want to go to?
I remember in my high school days, the Halloween Yosemite trip.
You know what funny thing about this movie is I felt, there was a moment where I genuinely felt bad for Laurie Strode, because after she matures and says, okay, you could go to Yosemite, then Josh Hartnett's character is like, I'm not going. And it's like, oh man, what a waste. Like, I feel so bad. Like, you're not gonna, your mom, like, this is her growing, you know, she's finally growing up.
Yeah, but you gotta be a teen.
I know.
There's also like
I think I'm closer to Lori's age though, so I'm on her side now. So
no, that's the thing, when at the beginning, when Laurie and their son are just kind of going back and forth, and we're kind of learning about them, and there's like, he wants to go on the camping trip, and he says like, Dad would let me go, and Laurie says, Dad is an abusive chain smoking methadone addict, and then the son is like, who would attract someone like that to think he left you? And it's like, oh, you speak to your mother like that?
You know what, and then that reminds me too, another way I think this movie is, to me, this feels sadistic on the movie's part, but the way they show her alcoholism, it is so superfluous and meaningless. It's one scene of her just drinking an extra, forcing a glass of Chardonnay down her throat, and it doesn't come to fruition in any way. It's not like she makes a bad decision because she's drunk. It's not like even when. She encounters her son in the street. I thought her son was going to say something like, oh, I smell the alcohol in your breath. Yeah. They never even do something like that. So it's almost like the movie to me just says, let's just make her more messed up and make her alcoholic for alcohol's sake.
I think that it's just one of many things. Like, it's an idea that's being thrown out and it's not going anywhere with it.
They're like, she's pretty messed like, up,
to,
huh?
To me, it's like that stuff. Like, I don't have a problem at all with alcoholism in movies, but it almost just feels like a sadistic way to treat your characters. Like, let's just make them more fucked up, you know, let's just add more problems. And they're not, and they have nothing to do with anything. So it just like, yeah. I felt
how
bad
much
for her.
I did not understand that was a thing. When you guys started talking about her being an alcoholic, I was like, she was?
What? She was normally drinking Chardonnay.
We all chug Chardonnay at lunch.
They have a line about her alcohol use. I think it's either her son. I think it's her son. Yeah.
She's a functioning
alcoholic.
Yeah,
that's what he says. He says that about her.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I thought it was just the anxiety of that day. Like, that's how much it's like.
Well,
doesn't pay off that she's an actual.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's not like you see her throughout the day, like putting like booze into her.
Exactly.
Coffee.
So it's
right. I guess. Well, because that is, it's in the morning. She gets wine with breakfast and like chugs two glasses. And
no,
it
it's
is,
lunch.
But
it's lunch.
Oh, okay. Well,
so the normal way to drink wine at lunch.
But yeah,
you get a mimosa for lunch.
But yeah, you're right. And like, you don't know if that's like an everyday thing or if she's just like freaked out right now.
I took it as the sign of alcoholism because of the line that her son says. Because I do like that stuck to me because when he says it, there's nothing that we've seen before to suggest it. So I'm like, that's weird for him to say. And then
there's also that moment when it's like she's on a lunch date with her lover and he is drinking coffee and he steps away and the waiter comes over and she orders a glass of Chardonnay and he looks at like her full glass in front of her and then they give her like a snippy line where she's like today and then like chugs the wine and by the time her guy comes back it seems like nothing happened, which is a very like hiding your
yeah I guess that's like that's
from,
that's the maybe the point. Meant to be the move like the that she's an alcoholic because she's hiding the
but it is also the, like Nick is saying like this like weirdly unkind like treatment of the character. It's like, oh, okay, I guess she's messed up and she's rude to the waiter.
Can I get another glass of Chardonnay, please, today?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Like, and then I think it goes into like what you were saying, Jackie, about opening her medicine cabinet and just stacks of pills. Like, it just feels,
how else do you show that?
It feels like a very
messed.
Like just a stuzzy way to treat the character in a way that doesn't match anything else. Like, I don't, that to me, it's all about tonal balance. And so if you have a character that's living this life or an alcoholic, like you can build that into the story or make that flavorful for the character. Fine, you know, but it's just like, it just seems so extra and like meaningless to me. So
it that was the only moment that made me think this, but as we're watching it, I was thinking of the more recent Halloween movies with Jamie Lee Curtis that I don't like love, but I think it's a more interesting kind of choice to follow Laurie as like a weird recluse who's like, who becomes like a gun nut and, you know, has all these other difficulties. Cause you're like, okay, yeah, I can see how X, Y, and Z would lead you to that. But then you're like, in H20, it's like, okay, so she's a pretty well adjusted. She runs a school. She like has this and that, but this is how you can tell that she's still all messed up about things. And not to be all, because I know that's the more recent movies are all like, it's about trauma. It's about trauma. Trauma is the thing. But it's like, she does have trauma. She does definitely have trauma.
Well, so here's a question I had. So later on in the movie, she gets with her milquetoast boyfriend, the counselor at the school, and she's confiding in him, like, okay, I'm gonna tell him the truth,
like while they're making out.
Oh my god, that moment, like, there's a distinct, there's a specific line, like when after she tell, like she has disclosed murder in her family, and then he literally just follows up with, take off your clothes, like I'm like.
That's
my
red flag.
Jaw was on the floor. I was like,
the line of dialogue. That comes later. The line of dialogue he says is, "Oh, well, that's sucky."
Part of me thought that part of me was like, oh my gosh, this dude is like a Michael Myers fanboy, and he knows exactly who she is.
He's like, you said Lori?
That would have been cool.
So yeah, I really thought later on, like when they met up with Michael, he was going to be like, you're real. You're real.
I'm well, that's what that's what I don't understand. That's what I was getting at. So like she mentions Lori. She says her name is Lori Strode. Yeah. And then he basically says, like, who hasn't heard the story of Michael Myers? Yes. So it's like, this is such a big deal in this world. How does everyone not instantly recognize her as Lori Strode?
I don't know. I don't know if I would jump onto that, because you can know. You ask me, I don't think I could show you a picture of any of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims. Like, I know the name, but I don't know.
I guess in this guy's case, if he's so familiar with the story of Michael Myers, like, maybe, I don't know. It just seemed odd to me that it was weird thing.
Michael Myers is just, in this world, isn't there a line, like, that he's, like, the most famous serial killer or something like that? So he's just at that level in terms of the public persona, but it doesn't mean that he would recognize Lori.
It just seems like an odd thing to throw in at the end, where it's like everyone knows the story of Michael Myers when it's not brought up at all.
We don't know what the boogeyman looks like.
Yeah.
I don't know. To be fair, the whole scene setup, like Nick suggested, is weird, where he's like, oh, so your brother killed your sister, huh? Take off your clothes.
Well, yeah, so there's some, I may be remembering the line that Lori says, but it's not a point in, it's a very strange reaction to me where she has disclosed like real trauma. Like, seems like he's understanding that she's telling the truth and something real, not joking.
A counselor.
Yeah. And then he's,
and she does have that line where she's like, you told me you'd listen.
Yeah, exactly. That's what she says after he says, take off your clothes. And
he's like, okay.
It is like the, I don't know, the creepo of creepiest lines I've ever heard. And it's just,
cause I'm looking at the MDB whatever and their dialogue, which I'm remembering correctly, maybe I'm not, but I'm pretty sure she's like straddling him, and then she's like, I'm not who you think I am, and he takes it as like a, ooh, okay, like, who are you? I guess we're doing like a role play
or something.
And she's like, and it's such a weird vibe, because she says, my brother killed my sister when she was 17. He says, well, that's sucky, how'd he do that? With a really big sharp kitchen knife, as a like, is this a porno? And then that's when he says, that's terrible, take off your clothes.
He's telling him the story of Michael Myers. He's like, well, who hasn't? Michael Myers.
But like, it is started as a like, oh, are we doing like serial killer role play? I can dig that. Ooh.
Yeah. I was just talking about getting my nipples pierced.
And it's like,
well, it's like, how would you?
You brought it up while we were making out.
If someone on Halloween was straddling you and you're making out, and then suddenly they go into a thing like, I'm not who you think I am, I'm actually related to Jeffrey Dahmer.
You'd be like, all right. Okay, I guess girl. I can see,
but still, I don't know. It's just the way, it's the way that guy like said it. Because when he says, take off your clothes, he's not like role-playing anymore. He's just like, let's skip to the
stuff. He's like, anyway, this got me plenty hard. Let's do it. And she's like, wait, no, I'm being serious. And again, it's like, why did you bring this up right now? You could have.
True. Yes. Yes.
Time and place.
A very bizarre time. The only thing that I can think of, besides obviously plot, is she brought it up at that time because she was like, I can't keep lying to him, because then, you know, it kind of straddles the line of like, he thinks I'm somebody else. Like, is this technically,
I mean, it's a weird relationship.
Am I assaulting him? You know, am I like assaulting him or whatever? Because it's all like,
and he is her employee. Like, all of it's messed up.
That's the only thing I can think of. Is she's like, okay, now it's before we have sex one more time.
I think the movie just completely fumbles building dimension to Lori, because I think there are many things about her or that she does that just don't feel like me as a viewer, there's stuff missing, connect the dots from action to action or making the choice to confess at this moment. It's like, we didn't see her, you know, really struggle throughout the day. We had the rough dinner, but, you know, or the lunch or whatever. So I just think that there's,
that's a good point.
I just think that there's dimensionality completely missing from Lori's character, especially because of who she is supposed to be in the story. Like, I think It just fumbles that completely.
Well, it makes me wonder because
like
we pointed...
could have start like the lunch and be like, "I have to tell you something," and then she's like,
"It gets interrupted or something." Yeah.
Let's order lunch for you know or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it makes me wonder because we pointed out that this movie is absurdly short. Like, if you take the end credits and the opening credit sequence out, like this movie is only like 1 hour and 20 minutes or so. Like, it's very short, which makes me wonder. Like, I definitely got the sense that there was probably a lot left on the cutting room floor with this movie.
There's very.
I believe that.
I feel like the kills have a lot of time spent on them. Like, the lady, right? We talked about the garbage disposal one, and then her getting her leg slashed, and then crawling.
Yeah, that
was pretty brutal. Was. Like, her leg is like hanging on like a strand of cartilage.
Yeah, it gets like crushed by the dumbwaiter.
Yeah.
Good use of dumbwaiter in the movie. I'll give it that.
Well, I guess while we're here, how would we rate the kills in this movie?
I liked them.
I mean, like we said, we started with a skate to the face.
Yeah, we
started
with
the strongest. Real strong.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. My favorite kill is Michael Myers, the head chopping.
Oh yeah, very I agree.
Very cool. I do. It wasn't my favorite kill, but I kind of appreciate just like the tried and true when the Laurie's boyfriend gets killed by Michael Myers. They do the like you're being stabbed with a big knife and then lifted up with the knife. Yeah. And that's always pretty fucked up.
I read something that. Not to divert.
You can't actually kill someone like that. Lift them up on a knife.
not to divert this too much, but I have to mention this.
CinemaSins.
I think this is going to be good foreshadowing for the next episode. Nick, maybe for your information. So again, not spoiling anything, but I did see a couple interesting things. So the producer Mustafa Akkad, or is that the guy? Like the So he had a clause in his contract with the company that said they legally could not kill Michael Myers, but they wanted to kill him.
They didn't say anything about beheading.
Well, Jamie Lee Curtis is like, I'm not doing this unless you.
I kill get to kill him,
Michael. We kill Michael Myers. So there was something they came up with. On like the very end, towards the end of shooting, and they're, I'll just without saying anything, like they filmed a little bit of the sequel during this shoot, during the shooting of this movie. So like they knew in advance, like while this movie was going on, they knew what was going to happen to like bring Michael Myers back, and they filmed some of it at the time they shot.
Well, it
this
was
movie.
A pretty smart move.
I really tried to pay attention and see if how they, what I thought was a retcon, but apparently is just a con.
Just a con.
Just a con.
Oh. I really tried to pay attention to see like how it happened and I missed it completely.
I already see it coming. It's so clear to me.
Wait, what is it? What is it, Nick?
Oh, you know.
All right, we'll spoil it.
The thing that.
Say that
no,
Michael
I want to know
Myers
what Nick thinks it is.
It is a really specific thing that happens to Michael in the movie that involves stuff.
Well, spot on.
Duh.
I will say, all right, Nick, I will spoil
it. Don't spoil
it.
Don't
spoil time travel.
Oh, time travel?
It involves time travel.
Oh,
wait, does it really involve time travel?
No. Oh.
You say that like, no, of course not. It's a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Don't be
silly. Time travel
silly.
Is definitely next not film. Something that the Halloween
franchise
would do.
The opening of the next film is the pagan cult sending
Stonehenge.
Michael back through time.
Well, they bring back the witches.
Well,
you know,
see,
from the season of the witch.
They bring back the original Michael from the Celtic days to battle the new Michael.
And they both are headless.
And they fight the Predator.
Yeah, so
and
the then... Michael Myers we see at the end of this movie, he gets his head cut off, is actually an ancient Michael Myers that came through time. Mm-hmm.
And then the head grows into its other Michael Myers.
And then some little feet pop out from the bottom of the head, and he kind of scurries around
that.
Oh,
that's like the thing?
Yeah, like the thing.
Now there's a movie.
And then at the end, the Michael Myers don't know which Michael Myers is which.
And then
and
they
they're...
point at each other like the Spider-Man
Can
meme.
Can we just watch the thing?
Guys, I think we just wrote the Royal Rumble of the
I think the world is ready for this.
I think there. Who do we know? Let's get Ryan on this. Say, Ryan, reach out to your contacts. We want to do a Royal Rumble. Get Freddy in there. Get Jason in there. Get the Predator in there. Shout out to Michael. Get the Thing in there.
Get the Thing.
Yeah, get the Thing.
Why not?
Get the Thing.
Well, and at this time, this is Dimension, as I mentioned, the Weinstein's company, and they were wanting crossover potential. They had Hellraiser. They had Michael Myers. They had...
Oh, is this the era of the I know it never came out, but the Jay and Silent Bob with the, like, with Freddy and Jason or whatever?
Now, that could have been fun.
That would have been fun.
Like, they were trying to get crossover stuff happening, so it's like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, I know it's not. I know it's very possible, and I need it to
happen. That's why I said it, because I want it.
That's why I said it. I need it to happen. Who do we think would win?
Jay. No, Silent Bob.
Silent Bob.
Silent Bob would win.
He's like, I fucking wrote the movie. Of course I'm winning.
I know how to hide.
What's the line from Clerks? Like, you know, there's a million like great women out there, but not all of them bring you your nightmare pills. Is that how
yeah,
it goes?
Yeah.
That's what they said.
So something I want to say, like, as we're maybe winding down, I just want to, like...
We're just getting started.
It's something about...
She just ordered her second glass of Chardonnay. So anyway,
back to the beginning of the movie.
So can we talk about Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
So they stole two beers.
They said, we've never drunk before. We're going to get so fucked up.
There was a fact about this. I feel like it kind of sums up, like, everything about this movie. So... Dr. Loomis, Donald Pleasance, you know, integral to the Halloween franchise, right? Like, maybe arguably the star of the franchise.
Hated it so much, and yet...
And he was unfortunately dead by the time they made this. So they dedicated the movie to Donald Pleasance.
He would have hated this.
And they included, like, at the end of the movie, like, dedicated to Donald Pleasance, a loving tribute. And they misspelled his name in that.
Oh, my God. Oh, Donald, you would have despised this.
It's not only that, they dedicate the last movie to him, too. So he said,
what the fuck am I doing with all this bullshit?
When Michael was reading this, I was like, is he accidentally reading a fact about the previous movie? But, okay, well, the fact that they misspelled his name, oh, that's a terrible
thing. So fucking funny.
They probably did it on purpose.
They're like, fuck you, Donald. We didn't like you either.
Fuck you, Donald. Even though he's the best part of like him slowly going into madness is just oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
Oh, rest in peace, Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance. Love your work. Bye.
Does anyone have any closing thoughts on H20, or should we get into recommendations?
I think that Josh Hartnett was a real piece of shit in this movie.
He needed to stand up straight.
I swear to God, I'll have to go and look. I'll have to go and look, but I swear to God, like, I got a sense that the ending, there seemed like there were parts of the ending that were reshot, because I swear to God, there's a moment at the end when she... I'm curious what your guys' initial reaction to this moment was at the end when, you know, the cops are there, you think Michael's killed, and then Jamie Lee Curtis just sort of, like, slowly walks, grabs an axe, and then pulls a gun from the cops, like, get him in the car, get him in the car. What was going through your guys'...
Oh, she was, like, about to be shot by the cops.
I was hooting and hollering. I'm like, yes, girls, steal from the cops! Oh, yeah, there was...
LL Cool J couldn't have done that.
No, he would never have tried.
No.
In any event, like, what's funny about this scene, I swear to God, when you see Josh Hartnett, he looks like his hair and his outfit look like the exact outfit he's wearing in The Faculty, which made me wonder, like, did they reshoot this and just have him, him from the set of The Faculty to do reshoots, and they didn't bother to change his costume?
Dave, that's so funny, because when you mentioned Dimension, I looked at their wiki page, and The Faculty is a Dimension film.
It came out the same year, I think.
Are
right?
They were literally just
it's
on
the same,
like,
school.
Yeah, yeah. Christmas Day, 1998.
Yes. So this, and this movie came out in the summer. So it's conceivable that they just pulled him from the set with The Faculty.
They, like, drape a blanket over him and be like, yeah, whatever. It's the end of the movie.
Because his hair looks exactly like it does in the faculty in this end scene.
I bet they did.
He probably has pens full of scat in his pockets in that scene.
Let's hope not.
I think the my last thought before we wrap up, which kind of goes back to what we were saying, of it feels like there was a lot left on the cutting room floor, was for Molly, the Michelle Williams character. I was really disappointed. Maybe it's just that, like, you know, looking back, you're like, oh, that's a huge name. Even though she was like a rising name at this point, but she gets the. I thought she was going to have more kind of active, like, agency in a lot of things, because she gets the Laurie moment of, like, looking out the window during class, seeing the shape, and then when she looks back, he's not there. I was like, oh, are we setting up? She's going to be the final girl here. Like, she's kind of. Nope, not at all.
Yeah, she didn't really. She has that moment with the keys, I guess.
Well, yeah, and but it's such a wasted opportunity, because it's like, we know that she is a very good actress. She'll go on to keep being a very good actress. But the only thing she gets to do in this movie is have painfully thin eyebrows and be someone's girlfriend. And again, it's the 90s. I get it, but man, it's a waste.
If you needed so incredibly beautiful. So to have that, those, I could not look at anything but her horror.
It hurt to look at. I'm like, oh, Michelle, you'll get to grow them out again, I promise.
I really hope that trend does not come back.
I'm so scared every day of thin eyebrows.
We've got great eyebrows.
We have to protect what we have.
I was going to say, if anyone needed a reminder that this movie came out in 1998.
One look at the eyebrows will tell you.
The closing credit song is by Creed.
That's true. What? You weren't there for that? It was so Creed. It was painfully Creed.
What's this eye for?
My name is Creed and it's Michael Myers.
With arms wide open. I'm going to stab you.
Halloween, age 20.
I'll see you next Halloween. This movie is better than Friday the 13th 3D. That movie was so bad.
You might agree with you on that one. Friday the 13th. We haven't done Friday the 13th 3 on the show, but I think I might agree with you, Janet.
So bad.
Well, so can I consider that a ringing endorsement from you, Janet? H20 recommend?
Yes!
Listeners can't see this, but Jenna has like a Halloween H2O t-shirt on right now.
She's been wearing the Michael Myers mask this whole time.
Like, it's like, yes, this movie is better objectively than a piece of poop. It's better in that sense.
It was not even as bad as I remembered. It's good.
It's good.
It's good?
Good.
It is a movie I kind of like to steal a rating from another podcast I listen to. It's a movie I kind of like.
Well, fair enough.
Making endorsement.
Yeah, that's on the poster. Like it is dot, dot, dot. It is dot, dot, a movie, dot, dot, I kind of like.
Well, Jackie, what about you? Would you recommend H20?
You know, I don't think I would, but I, you know, I did watch it, so I don't know. I would not recommend. No, I would. You know, I would recommend any number of Michelle Williams's other works.
You did watch it. You did give this movie streaming revenue, so you are part of the
problem. Yeah, no, and I should.
Revenue again? Are the streamers giving revenue again to movies?
Probably not.
I hope LL Cool J got some of it.
You know, I would recommend a supercut of LL Cool J's scenes talking on the phone to his girlfriend about the erotic novel he's trying to write.
There's like a 20-minute version of this movie that's like some of the beginning LL Cool J scenes and then the end scenes, and that would be fine.
That reminds me. So just to break, to do a quick pause on the recommendations, like, okay, so Deep Blue Sea came out, I think, this year or the next year. And that movie, if you recall, had a rap song from LL Cool J where he's talking.
Yeah, dude, he's working. Like, he stays working.
He's like, your head is like a shark's fin. So why is there not an LL?
Well, yeah, there could have been like an
credits.
Alice Cooper Man Behind the Mask thing. Yeah.
He offered, this would be amazing. What if he offered and they're like, we got this sick Creed song.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein's like, no, we got a great deal on Creed.
No rap in this picture.
This Creed band's going places. I'm
LL Cool J's like, okay. No, I mean, I thought I'd offer, but never mind.
But if you got Creed,
hey.
Sorry, Ella, we already got Creed.
No, that's great. That's fine. I'm fine.
Well, Mike, would you recommend Halloween 20 years later?
No, I would not.
Okay. Asked and answered.
Well, Nick, how about you?
Hell no. This is the worst Halloween movie we've seen.
Wow.
No, really?
No. Number three is the worst freaking.
That's fun. Well, that's probably the worst take I've heard.
I know the fan base loves that movie. I fucking hate that movie.
Well, you guys are going to both have to get some big, sharp kitchen knives and fight it out.
I love that the only sort of recommendation of this movie is from someone saying, I kind of liked it.
Following up with, oh, I don't like three.
Oh, it's terrible. It's a horrible movie.
Wow, so I think this is the first time in a minute that a movie has gotten nothing but downvotes.
I have like a little tiny.
It's like halfway.
Ringing endorsement.
Well, I hope if you guys are welcome to join us on our next installment when we see the resurrection of Michael Myers in Halloween Resurrection.
Does evil die that night or no?
We'll have to wait.
Oh, damn.
I thought evil died this night.
I don't know if you guys remember, but legally, evil cannot die.
Legally, evil
under the contract
will not die. So
yeah, that's what this movie leaves you with. Remember, people, legally, evil cannot die.
All right.
Sarah, Molly, just checking on the Hillcrest remains. You girls okay?
Good. Thanks, Mr. Brennan.
And how are you, Mr. Brennan? Looking cute as ever.
Thank you, Sarah. What are you two up to tonight?
Well, we thought we'd hit the town, pick up some guys, you know, drop some roofies in their drinks, have a whole date rape evening.
Huh. Sounds good.
Care to join us?
I can't. I'm having my nipples pierced.